And welcome again to the Latino Business Report. On this podcast, we'll be talking about emotional intelligence, where we'll explore the myriad of advantages it offers across various facets of life. Emotional intelligence, often referred to as EI or EQ, encompasses the ability to perceive, interpret, demonstrate, control, evaluate, and utilize emotions to communicate effectively and constructively with others. It's not just about managing our own emotions, but also understanding and responding to the emotions of those around us. In fact, some experts argue that emotional intelligence is even more critical for success in life than IQ. So what exactly does emotional intelligence entail? It involves recognizing, understanding, and managing our own emotions, as well as accurately perceiving, interpreting, and responding to the emotions of others. These skills are vital in navigating the complexities of social interactions, building and maintaining relationships, overcoming challenges, and making wise decisions. Throughout this episode, we will delve deeper into the components of emotional intelligence, its significance in various aspects of life, and practical strategies for enhancing our own emotional intelligence. Join us as we unravel the fascinating world of emotional intelligence and discover how it can positively impact our personal and professional endeavors. My guest today is Michael Garza, CEO of Battle Tested Performance. Mr. Garza is a researcher in the field of industrial and organizational psychology. Garza designed an algorithm to increase business and human performance, analyze workflow processes, and help clients, business owners, educators, and athletes unlock their true mental potential.
Welcome to the Latino Business Report. This podcast covers business, people, and issues of the day from a Latino perspective. The Latino Business Report is brought to you by TAMAC, the Texas Association of Mexican American Chambers of Commerce. TAMAC is the leading Hispanic business organization in Texas since 1975. Now for your host, J.R. Gonzalez.
And welcome to another episode. Today's episode is going to be exciting. It's going to be interesting, and it's going to be one that makes you think. I know a lot of you out there don't like to do that. I know I don't. But the guest we have today has definitely made me think. I don't know whether to thank him for it or curse him for it. Either way, Michael, how are you doing today?
Good. Good. It's good to be here with you tonight, JR.
Good to be with you, sir. We're going to be talking about a subject I didn't know a lot about, and I'm not going to assume that just because I don't know it, other people don't know it, but emotional intelligence. Now, I'll know about IQ and other types of intelligence, but emotional intelligence is something a little bit different, something that has been around for about, 20, 30 years, but people are just now starting to understand it and apply it a little bit more. So, Michael, can you just pretend for a minute I don't know anything, which is a good assumption, and can you give us an idea on what emotional intelligence is?
Yeah, so, when we're thinking about emotional intelligence, we're thinking about how to use and understand emotions is probably the easiest way to think about emotional intelligence, right? So we're very emotional creatures, right? We have a lot of dreams. We have a lot of great ideas. We have a lot of great aspirations. Mm-hmm. So what happens when those things don't come to fruition or they don't come true? How do we handle that emotionally? We could put great plans into place, and we could bring a lot of smart people and help us build a lot of successful plans. But what happens when those plans don't come to fruition or don't come when we want them on a timeline, right? And that's where emotional intelligence kicks in. It helps us handle things from a different perspective, how we look at things. And so because we're emotional creatures, we're always going to, in a high probability, make a lot of emotional decisions before we make logical and rational decisions, right? For example, we know that the eclipse happened today. So, I went to the grocery store and everybody was clearing out the grocery store in my area because some thought that the world was going to come to an end, right? And, thank God it didn't. But at the end of the day, what are we making these decisions on? Are they rational or are they emotional?
It's safe to say some people make decisions based on logic, and you naturally have people that make a lot of the decisions based on emotion. So as you have that, and I've understood that some people just make decisions emotionally, or they tend to do that. How does that differ, and how do you actually measure emotional intelligence? And then is it actually intelligence if people are just going with their feelings? Or is it just kind of no intelligence or no thought whatsoever, just going, this is the way I feel, this is what I'm going to do?
Well, Jerry, that's actually a great question. And I think a lot of it comes into play of cultural intelligence, you know, right? Where we come from, who our dad is, who our mother is, whether we had a dad, whether we have a mom. Those factors play into our upbringing and how we use our intelligence when it comes to emotions, right? So if you take, for example, you take a Latino that wants to start a business, right? He may tell his dad, hey, I want to start a business. And his dad may say, you know what? That'll never work, right? In our family, we get up, we go to work. That's not possible. It's not worth your time. And so in our cultural aspect of being Latinos, we hear that a lot. So the emotion to say, you know what, am I either going to accept this or am I going to challenge it? That's where the emotional intelligence comes in, right? So one has to build self-confidence, and then at the same time, one could lose self-confidence. So that emotion actually dictates, which is a very highly used predictive analysis of the perception of our vision for our future. Right? Tell somebody they can, right? And then tell somebody they can't. Those are just feelings and thoughts that can project a life to be prosperous or to digress in life. So understanding where we come from is very huge when you're talking about the use of emotional intelligence.
Okay. Well, I understand that. It makes sense. However, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, and this is the way I am. Tell me I can't do something, and that's when I get motivated to do it. So how does that fit into the little equation or the thing that you just explained? I mean, I understand that, and it makes sense, especially in Latino families. I mean, that whole cultural thing. One, you don't want to be thwarted. You don't want to thwart your own progress by the culture or what your parents have told you, but at the same time, you want to be respectful to your parents and the family and the culture, so you don't want to maybe go outside that box and end up with the status quo or what your parents believe is good for you, because I know they want the best, but they may not understand you. So as I'm looking at that, how does that fit into the overall equation that you're talking about when somebody goes, you tell me that I can't do it, and that's when I'm motivated to do it?
Well, I think a great story, and I think also you can testify to this. You know, when you look at the movie that Richard Montes, you know, the founder of Hot Cheetos, you know, just came out with, you know, I'm actually at the end of completing my PhD in emotional intelligence. So, but I really love what he said, right? Really, as a Latino, when we want to challenge the status quo of our social environments, of our culture environments, what that PhD really technically stands for is poor, hungry, and determined, right? Growing up as Latinos, we encounter so much hardship, so much setback that emotional component, we have to literally ask the question is this what I'm going to settle for? Or is there something new that I'm going to strive for, right? And there's an emotional shift there, because what's really hard about it is that some people, when you study people and their behavior, they won't make that transition to strive for something else if they feel like they don't get that level of support, right? But the internal characteristics of making that emotional decision is that, you know what? I don't want to live like this anymore. I'm aspiring to do something different. There's some type of internal drive where we hear all our life that you can't, you won't, you're not smart enough, right? And one thing about our culture is, as Latinos, is that we are taught to work extremely hard. So that internal drive of, we may not be consciously aware of how hard we're working, but we're making that emotional investment that our hard work may not get us to the dream we want, but it will lead us to success at some point of our life. So using those emotions of those intrinsic, you know, motivators of emotion, right? That inspiration, that is what technically helps us break those challenge, those status quos in our own life.
Okay. And my apologies, sir, but I like the way you slid in there. Oh, I just happened to be finishing up my PhD in emotional intelligence. Congratulations. That was slick. That was slick. Hey, congratulations on that. And that's something I should have mentioned a little bit earlier. So this subject matter of emotional intelligence, you're getting your doctorate in it. So
yes, sir.
I mean that's pretty amazing. But let me go back a little bit to the basics. And this is a question I asked before we got started, which I thought was interesting. Everybody's pretty much familiar with the IQ. I mean, Einstein had a IQ level of this. People talk about their IQs, but you're born with an IQ level, and it's something that you can't grow or develop.
Yeah. So, what psychology and science has revealed over the years is that every individual is born with an IQ, right? So, mm-hmm. whatever that IQ is, it's set.
And that so IQ stands. What's IQ stands for? What?
Intelligent quotient, right? So okay. Basically, what that means is that determine how high your IQ is determines a level of complexity and capacity that you can handle. So when there's very complex problems, do you have the capacity? Do you have the IQ to handle that level of complexity? EQ, on the other hand, right, is the emotional capacity to deal with problems, right? So you could be a genius, right? And this is what Baron discovered, is that he studied all these people with very high IQs and they weren't very successful, and even in job performance, right? So what he started noticing is that people were very successful, had a very high EQ or emotional intelligence. And so when we're looking at the emotional complexity of it, you can grow an emotional intelligence, right? You can develop a greater emotional capacity in your life, right? So people, there's another aspect, which is personality, right? So when you look at minorities, you know, you look at a lot of Latinos, a lot of African Americans, their social environments sometimes are really tough. So they have very strong, dominant personalities, right? So people can say, well, you know, their IQ could be high, but their personality is very dominant. Well, that's kind of separate too from EQ. So there's really like a triangular thing happening here. Just because somebody's dominant does not mean that they have a low EQ. They could have a high EQ as well. And that, to me, I think the best way that I've seen over the years that people develop a great EQ is through rejection. It's through humiliation, right? You get to step back and you get to look at where we come from and say, you know what? What good is it doing me to get angry and burn all the bridges? And then I'm finding myself alone, right? And so when you look at the emotional intelligence aspect, those are things that we can grow in. But as far as IQ, that is basically set in stone. So people ask me all the time, well, what happens when I read books? Well, when you're reading books, you're just growing in knowledge. You're closing those learning academic gaps of things that we did not know, right? So that's why we're here tonight, because emotional intelligence really intrigues a lot of person. Even though it's only been around for about 30 years, a lot of people consider emotional intelligence like a pseudoscience. But to me, in my experiences in different industries, different roles that I play, there's a lot of research based by Daniel Goleman. That's what my doctorate dissertation is based on, Dr. Daniel Goleman, who came out of the scholarly world and said, you know, what good is IQ without EQ, right? So EQ, which is your emotion, enhances the cognition, which then enhances your metacognition for your decisions. And mm-hmm. so there's just a Dr. Goleman's book is really good. I built my dissertation around the things that he has discovered, and it really comes down to performance. So go ahead and ask a question.
Okay, so basically, if you're born with a low IQ, you're pretty much SOL. You're just going to be dumb as a rock for the rest of your life?
It's very hard because of the part in the brain. There's a part in the brain before we get to the prefrontal cortex, which is your amygdala and your hippocampus. That is all regulated by emotion. So when that becomes dysregulated, people never really get to use the prefrontal cortex in their logical and rational thinking, right? So mm-hmm. making people angry, making people mad, takes them out of all that logical and rational thinking. So that metacognition of them actually using their true intelligence never comes to fruition, right? I want to give you a story of really how I took on this PhD role. Part of my career, I worked as an educator inside of an incarcerated unit working with teens from 7th through 12th grade. What fascinated me about these teens, mostly Latino and African American, was a population in there, serving anywhere from 3 months to 2 years, is that they very intelligent individuals. Actually, they were entrepreneurs, very high risk takers, characteristics. But what then I started noticing about these students is that they didn't have the emotional capacity to deal with things, right? And so when I put on presentations, whether it's for athletes, entepreneurs, executive, educators, I highlight this as the prison characteristics, right? And this is why, going back to your question, if you have a low EQ, a low emotional intelligence, you're pretty much screwed. This is what Dr. Daniel Goleman in his book basically addressed. When you look at prison characteristics, a lot of those people that are in prison, they're there because of hurt. They're there because of anger. Anger that's not treated turns into hate. They're running off emotions of jealousy and envy. And then it falls into an insecurity. When that insecurity happens, then it can turn into what we call a false humility, right? So you have all these emotions dictating an individual's life that is so smart. A lot of these kids were straight A students inside an incarcerated unit. But the moment we let them back out, they didn't have the emotional capacity, the self-regulation to function in the society. Because why? Because we don't teach emotional intelligence inside of schools, right? We teach students how to prepare for a workforce in a certain segment, in a certain niche, right?
Or how to pass a standardized test.
Or how to pass a standardized test, right? And it's not for everybody. This is where also psychologist Christopher Gardner came in and developed. There's different types of intelligences, right? And so he rocked the world of psychology. But what fascinated me was really the emotional intelligence component, how emotions can change your perception and your vision of how you see the world. So if your emotions are wrong, the path you're going on to life is going to be wrong, whether you have a high IQ or not. Sometimes, you hear this cliche, that guy's so smart or that lady's so smart. What were they thinking, right? Because what's driving an individual is past emotions, right? And we hold on to the emotions. That's where the part of the brain, the hippocampus, when you study that, it basically captures a lot of negative things that happen in our lives. That's why we can always reflect on negative things in such a great detail. But guess what it's triggering? It's triggering those emotions, those feelings, those thoughts. And we're stuck, right? We're in a world of inertia, mm-hmm. right? So it's very, very fascinating.
So would you say from a development standpoint, professional development standpoint, that the EQ is just as important as the IQ, or do you think EQ or emotional intelligence is going to be a bit more valued in a productive workforce?
Well, this is what Dr. Daniel Goleman discovered. And anybody that has a PhD, they want to talk about triangulation, right? You want to have quantitative analysis, you want to have qualitative analysis. From my personal experience in different industries that I work in, I agree with Dr. Daniel Goleman. And what he said is when he studied top performer, elite performers in Fortune 500 companies, what he discovered was the top performers demonstrated five characteristics of emotional intelligence: self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're an entrepreneur, you've got to have social skills. We live in a capitalistic society. So absolutely. if our students don't know how to communicate and don't know how to shake hands professionally, they don't know how to communicate, they don't know how to investigate, we're on the wrong path of building Latino kids or minority kids that don't have those opportunities to develop that social emotional skill. Right. So when you work in an incarcerated unit, I tell kids this all the time. I've seen it firsthand. The number one characteristic and emotion you need when you work in a lock-up facility is hate. There's no communication. It's who can hate the most. So if you look at what our students, if you look at what our youth is looking at today, right? Our students are taught what to think, not how to think. And what to think, if you look at all the stuff that they're seeing from Instagram to TikTok to Facebook, there's so much negativity that they're being taught. Where is that social emotional skill? You know, part of my research was also looking at when CEOs rate, you know, characteristics they needed to lead. I think it was the 10th characteristic that they thought was important was empathy, right? So what can we do without empathy, right? Without taking the other person's perspective. And this is what Dr. Daniel, you know, Goleman emphasized was leaders, executives, you know, superintendents, they lack an empathy. Well, why is empathy important? Because empathy is about inclusive leadership, listening to all your people to get their input, and how does it benefit the organization, the student, the community? That's inclusive leadership. That is empathy, right? How we react to situations in our life, that is empathy. But where are kids taught that in today's society?
Okay, so basically what I've gathered from the discussion so far is that even if you didn't do well in school, even if you aren't the sharpest pencil in the drawer, if you have a good emotional intelligence, if your EQ level is there, that's functioning, you can actually do very well in life and succeed in business and your personal life and whatever. That EQ aspect of who you are that can make you successful. So you can have somebody, and I'm not pointing to you, Michael, you can have somebody with a PhD, you know, he goes, well, you know, what did you say that was... it stood for on the movie?
Poor, hungry, determined.
Okay. For me, it's sometimes pendejo has degree, but that's how it
is. So I love you. You're awesome.
you got this guy, and not taking anything away from the educational system, believe me, but you have people that have their PhDs, their doctorates, you know, a couple of masters. They're very, very on paper, you know, and academically, according to the standards and everything, very smart. And have deserved that, but how does that translate sometimes into the real world of entrepreneurship, of the social justices and injustices that are out there, and how are they going to function? So is that accurate to say somebody who maybe has a low IQ can still be very, very successful depending on their EQ?
Yeah, I mean, we most people have an average IQ, okay? And I have an average IQ. But I'm going to tell you why you're so right and correct about this, JR. When I was a CEO of a chamber of commerce, something very fascinated me when I walked in. Okay, I have a master's degree in business from UT Systems, right? The PhD, you know, spend over $150,000, you know, studying very successful people, you know, being very sophisticated with words. However, I have met business owners who have high school degrees making $1 million a month. Why? It intrigued me. Saying, okay, you don't have a master's, you don't have a doctorate. What is it that you're doing? And what I came to find out, this is why in my dissertation is investigating entrepreneurs' description of emotional intelligence. What I found was people that had high school degrees making $1 million a month, they had a high level of emotional intelligence. They were very self-aware. They knew when they lost their money, their motivation was intrinsic. It was an introspection. What really churned me also deeper into my investigation and my dissertation was this one aspect. I know a lot of executives that work in Fortune 500 companies are in a high chain. They have master's degrees. They are phenomenal in their field when it comes to, you know, organizations that have a lot of policies and procedures, a lot of structure. When they lose money, they're losing investors' money. They're losing their shareholders' money, right? There's no loss to that. When I got into the entrepreneur side of the business, when you lose $40,000, $100,000 of your own money, you have to understand at that point, you have to have a very high IQ to say, I am wrong. Yeah. I am wrong. Because without it, right, without understanding the emotional intelligence component of it, you'll never make it on the small business side, right? And it's a very different world, because in the small business side of entrepreneurship, you are the CEO, you are the salesperson, you are the marketing person, you are the accounting person. And this is one thing too, for anybody that's listening out there, I want to give a lot of credit, especially to JR, for creating Leadership Tejas. I've been through a lot of leadership programs, good school of business. I've had a lot of great mentors, but when you go through Leadership Tejas, what it actually does, it's building high emotional intelligence within the program, because it targets so many different avenues of leadership that you won't get anywhere else, right? And so, yes, you are correct. You can have an average IQ and be extremely wealthy because you have a high emotional intelligence. And how you use and understand those emotions are going to make you very productive, not only as a small business owner, not only as an athlete, not only as an educator, but also in the organization and the operations. So, yeah, it's intrigued me. I'm very fascinated with it. You know, still doing a lot of research, created some models, but it's really just very fascinating when I get to share data with people.
Okay. And Michael, thank you very much for that shout out. For the listeners that I really haven't mentioned it on the show before, along with the other things I do, we created a leadership training program called Leadership Tejas. And what we do is we get individuals such as Michael from all over the state of Texas, some very highly motivated individuals who are leaders within themselves already, get them together, create a six-month training program that enhances their leadership abilities, it creates a synergy, and it gives them exposure to some things that they may not have been exposed to before to just improve their levels. And the goal is for folks such as Michael, once they graduate the class, can go out and do things in the community, especially for the Latino community, even better, or, you know, go out there and become involved and head up an organization, start a nonprofit, run for office. But I think the whole core of it is to make sure that you're out there, you're representing our community the best way that you can, and using all your skills, whether it be an IQ, an EQ, a DQ, a Dairy Queen, whatever, just use those cues, whatever you need to go out there. And like I said, thank you for your kind words about the program, but you still have about six more sessions to go. So don't think being nice to me on my podcast is going to get you a better grade, Michael. You still got to pass the class.
Well, you know, I want to say this because I think this is very important. And, you know, I'm very grateful for you leading the class and bringing, you know, a lot of your emotional intelligence, a lot of your wisdom, a lot of your insight and foresight into this group of leaders. You know, I'll tell you how practical the leadership class is. You know, JR was actually training us on parliamentary procedures, you know, Robert Rules of Order. And we created some really, really huge and real scenarios in there that it gets so emotional. But, you know, that's what makes real leadership, is when it's practical and you can see the emotional aspect in it. And then what are people doing? How are they going to react once they feel that emotion, right? Because what happens to people is when they feel that emotion, they tend to panic. Right. And so mm-hmm. That's what I feel that the Leadership Tejas prepares us for in those real lifetime moments, to say, you know what? I've already been through this. I've ran through the scenario, and this is how I handle it.
Yeah. And there's also people get emotional or vocal. A consequence for other people is just they're intimidated. They don't want to say anything. They don't want to get into the fray, if you will. But especially as a community, I think one of the purposes for that exercise is not only to get the participants to have a better understanding of Robert's Rules of Order, because that's the way just about every meeting in this country is run, but to also be able to know how to use the rules to get, not to get their way or railroad it, but it's a game. If you don't know the rules, I mean, don't play the game. Get to know the rules, understand them, and make sure that as they're being enforced, it's equitable for everyone. But to your point, when the emotions or the topic on the table gets heated, I mean, we've seen it on television, we've seen it every day in politics. I mean, people can get very emotional. They can even get to the point where they get violent, depending on how that emotional level is brought up. So it's a good point, and we're looking at it, and everybody has these experiences, whether you realize it or not. One of the things I tell people, if you really want to get prepared for politics, if you want to get prepared to really face some difficult situations that deal with high levels of emotions and a lot of arguing, get involved with your HOA. Homeowners associations, in my opinion. I was president of my homeowners association for about 6 years. Those are the most difficult things to deal with because, one, I mean, you're dealing with your neighbors, for one, and you're dealing with some issues that you're going, really? We're going to argue over, you know, what color that paint on the building is? But it gets out there. But this is interesting, Michael, and I appreciate you coming on the show and talking about this because so many times we don't think about this, the emotional intelligence and how emotions can actually dictate. And from your standpoint in your dissertation, you're looking at using it as a predictor. Is that correct?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. Can you explain that a little bit, using emotional intelligence levels as a predictor?
Yeah. So, you know, when we look at economics is also considered a social science, means that people are moving the market, right? And so there's a lot of illusions that are happening. And when you have a high level of emotional intelligence, you can predict a lot of things, not 100%, but you can predict behaviors and patterns of behaviors. So when we see people, and most of the time when I, you know, working with a lot of at-risk kids, working in different organizations, what I'm looking for is I'm looking for the five core of people. I'm looking how self-aware they are, how self-regulated are, and most important, what is their motivation? What is their motivation, right? Because that motivation is going to transfer into a habit. Is it a good habit? Is it a bad habit? Also looking at that level of empathy, right? Are we inclusive in what we're talking about as a team, or am I going off rogue? And also to the social skills, how we talk with individuals. So, you know, a lot of people know me because I predict a lot of things, and some people say, oh, well, you know, it happened. Well, because we're looking at behaviors and patterns of people. And so when you get deep to studying emotional intelligence, you're looking at certain behavioral characteristics and predicting these outcomes in the way that they're going to happen. Another thing that I love when I'm consulting with business owners is to always build in a red team member, right? And so okay, I've had what, the opportunity. Go ahead.
Build in what? I'm sorry.
What we call a red team member, right? A red team member. The United States Army uses this so that we don't get caught in group or herd thinking, right? So sometimes when somebody's really highly emotional intelligence, they can manipulate the whole group and get everybody into group or herd thinking. When you have a red team member, they are there not to agree with what the group is saying. Actually, they are there to say, hey, I think emotionally it sounds right, but it's not right. So I'm going to apply some logic. I'm going to apply some facts. I think whether you're a business owner or whatever position you're in, you always need to have a red team member to consult to say, is this the best option that I should go? Because they're going to look at things. And the way I describe a red team member, if you've ever played the game of chess, you're emotionally invested into it. You're making moves. You're losing pieces. But why is it that the person on the side says, hey, don't move there? You know why he can see the whole game? Because he's not emotionally invested. That is a red team member, right? And so I'm very big on having red team members in my scope, whether I'm the red team member or somebody on the team's a red team. They're there to say, no, this isn't the right move. What happens is it creates a conflict, and people's like, oh, we don't want conflict. Conflict is sometimes good because it leads to change. So I'm very big on having a red team member. Actually, in my life, I'm a huge risk taker. I have three red team members, and they don't agree with anything that I say, but that self-reflection.
Are those your kids?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, and your kids are your red team members. Okay, I get it. But so okay, yeah. That brings up a point. And when you were talking about when you're giving that example, for some reason the movie flashed into my head, and it shows my age. 12 Angry Men. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, awesome. Yes.
Would that be an example of what you're talking about there?
Yeah, it's a perfect example, right? It's somebody who is not buying. That's a great example. Like, you should cover that in the class yard. Like, that is the best example of a red team member, because you got to remember, I tell people this, and when I train people, you got to understand emotional intelligence has been considered a weapon. It's, I call it, and what I write about in my future books is I call it insider trading, because, you know, if people are emotionally driven, their cognition, you're going to see that decision, right? It's like the game of chess. To be a great chess player, you have to know where people are moving to maneuver on the board. So you've got to make sure that when you're dealing with highly emotionally intelligent people, you have to make sure that their heart is in the right place and they're doing it for the greater good. If not, you're going to need to have a red team member put in place.
Well, would it be safe to say that if a person was highly, their emotional intelligence levels were high, could they maybe not fake some of that, or to try to be deceptive in a competitive or combative situation, going, all right, this person knows me or thinks I'm going to do this, let me do the opposite, just to try to change up the game a little bit and to win.
No, JR, you hit it 100%, because this is what happens to us. Each one of us is a competitor, right? And when I train people, I train them on four different perspectives of outlook. It's the competitor, the educator, the entrepreneur, and the healer, right? Because when you're the competitor, you've got to understand you're looking for two words. Is when you're the competitor, you're looking for capitalization and utilization, right? And that's to get to your end goal. So being in small business or entrepreneurship, two things matter: time and time management. How you capitalize and how you utilize with the limited resources and limited options that you have. Well, when you have a high level of intelligence, you're basically not only reading the situation, you're actually reading people very quick, very fast to determine, is this worth the time or is it not worth the time? So, no, you're 100% right, because we're all competitors. Some people, I can tell you this, I used to work for a venture capitalist. And I used to work for a venture capitalist where he could write $1 million, lose $1 million, lose $100,000. And, you know, he had about 12 CEOs. And I said, this at some point is going to implode. And he's very upset with me. He's like, well, how do you know that? And I said, well, because I'm reading behavior. I'm reading all their characteristics in it, right? It eventually imploded, right? But the gentleman that was a venture capitalist, you know, making 100 plus million a year, he was very high in emotional intelligence as well. So at the end of the day, that intelligence too, that emotion can be biased. So it turns into pride. The problem with pride is one of the most powerful emotions is that if you don't regulate pride and you don't stay humble, it will turn into hubris. Well, what happens when you hit hubris? You overestimate, you overplan, you're overconfident, you're overenthusiastic, right? And what do we say to ourselves being highly emotional? Well, this time is different. So, you know, it's easy with just as emotional intelligence that you get greedy and you start to get into a different space of thought. And I've seen it over and over. This is why I think having red team members is so extremely important, especially when you're dealing with high level risk. I think that you got to have people there to help pump brakes, because sometimes through it all, you can get lost, right? Because you're seeing things so fast.
Yeah, that's one of my problems. I need handlers around me going, hold back there, hold back. Hey, Michael, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule. I know we both had hectic days, and as we're recording this, we had the eclipse earlier today, and it is late in the evening. But thank you so much for making the time at this hour to record this. But is there any closing thoughts you'd like to leave with the audience from your perspective on the subject?
No, I would just encourage anybody that's listening to this, continue to read. I'm also when I'm done, I'll be launching a company called Battle Tested Performance, and there to assist anybody and helping you unlock your true potential. And also, I would highly encourage anybody that's listening to this to join Leadership Tejas. It is a, I'm telling you, a 25-year vet in the game. it is a very highly practical class sessions that will really impact you, not only economically, but emotionally as well, because there's a lot of great synergy to learn from people.
Well, I thank you very much. And once again, thank you for joining us. My name is J.R. Gonzalez. I have been your host for the Latino Business Report. Latino Business Report is actually a product of TMAC, the Texas Association of Mexican American Chambers of Commerce. Leadership the House is under that, under their umbrella as well. You can find more about the show at latinobusinessreport.com, where you can also find an entire library of our episodes. Michael, thank you very much for joining us. Folks out there, thank you, and till next time.
Thank you, JR. Have a good one.